very careful, Mr. Hogan, what you say to me.
It's a question of honesty.
Tell me what you told her.
I would file a police report if needed.
And say what?
That the bike was stolen.
Well, the bike wasn't stolen.
Now, he's making it personal.
This is my witness, Greg. This is her ex-boyfriend.
She broke the parameters.
Hey, out! Oh, out. Better?
Yes, thank you.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Jennifer Garfinkel is suing her former friend, Nicholas Hogan, for the return of payment she made on a dirt bike.
Order. All rise. It's case number 23 on the calendar, the matter of Garfinkel versus Hogan.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated, sir. Have a seat.
Ms. Garfinkel, you and the defendant entered into a verbal agreement. And that agreement was that you would purchase a dirt bike that belonged to Mr. Hogan. And your agreement was that you would make monthly payments to Mr. Hogan. And at the end of the agreement, once the bike had been paid off, it would be yours.
Correct.
It is your claim that you made those payments faithfully to Mr. Hogan during all the time that you had possession of the bike.
That's correct.
And at some point he called you and told you that he wanted you to make the entire payment or get the loan out of his name, get it into yours, or pay off the entire balance. And if you weren't prepared to do that, he was going to call and report the bike stolen.
Correct.
So that was not the only reason, Your Honor.
I'm telling...
Sorry.
So you returned the bike to him, and you want Mr. Hogan to pay you the payments that you made to him when you had possession of the bike.
That's correct.
When did you take possession of the bike?
I took possession of the bike in December of 2009.
And when did you return the bike to him?
It was on March 28th, 2011, and he came to my place of business to pick up the bike.
From December 2009 up until March of 2011, did you make payments each month to Mr. Hogan?
Up until February, I did make payments to him.
Did you make the payment in February?
Yes, I did.
In what amount?
$130 by check.
And you have proof of all those payments should I need them? Okay. Would you explain to me why you didn't make March's payment?
Because at that point in March, when he decided that he wanted to get the vehicle back, I didn't feel that it was my responsibility.
When did you initially have a conversation about paying off the balance?
It was in December of 2010. He actually sent me a text and said that he had a problem and he needed the bike out of his name. I'm not really sure why, if there was a credit issue.
Why did you have a problem getting the bike out of your name in December 2010?
I didn't have a problem.
Did you send her a text?
I may have. I don't remember.
I want you to think about it, Mr. Hogan, carefully. Did you send her a text in December of 2010 telling her that you wanted to get the bike out of your name?
Yes, I may have. I did ask her to try and make an effort. The agreement was that she would pay ahead of schedule. We set minimum payments.
Mr. Hogan.
Yes.
What were your bank payments each month?
I was paying $130 a month that was paid to her.
I asked you what your payment was to the bank.
$130.
And what was Ms. Garfinkel paying you?
$130.
So far, for at least a year, she has been faithful in making the payments on the bike. She has proof of that. Now, something happened in December of 2010.
In April 2010, she didn't make a $128 payment, so it was only a couple of dollars short. I didn't bring it up.
Don't play with me. I'm just stating.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Keep going.
None of her payments were ever on time either, by the way.
What happened in December, Mr. Hogan, of 2010 that caused you to tell her that you wanted to accelerate the payments?
Well, she moved, for one, without notifying me, and I got a little nervous. She moved. I wasn't able to contact her for about 2 months, and I felt uneasy.
I don't care how you feel. Who is this?
I'm sorry. This is my witness, Greg. This is her ex-boyfriend.
Just a second. This is your witness, Greg. I don't care how you feel.
Okay.
The question is, did she breach the agreement with you? So you felt uncomfortable in December, but she hadn't missed October's payment. She hadn't missed November's payment, even though she moved and you couldn't get in touch with her for 2 months.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
She broke the parameters early.
Out. Ooh, out.
You got it.
Perfect. That way.
Not a problem.
Perfect. Better?
Yes, thank you.
Perfect.
Actually, Your Honor, I'm sorry.
She had made the payments for October and November, even though you didn't know where she was living.
Right.
And she made the payment in December.
Right.
And she made the payment in January.
Correct.
And she made the payment in February.
Yes.
Then at some point, you convinced her to turn the bike back to you. What did you tell her to convince her to turn the bike back to you?
Well,
now, just be very careful, Mr. Hogan, what you say to me.
Yes.
What did you tell her after she's made over a year's worth of payments on this bike and not been in default of payments? What did you tell her to convince her to give you back the bike?
Finally got a hold of her. We started talking, and come to find out, she was under the impression that she was not having to pay off the entire loan. The agreement
That's
was when
true.
She picked up the bike that
I want you to tell me what you told her.
Well, I told her if that she just stopped making payments, that I would come and get the bike. I would file a police report if needed.
File a police report and say what?
That the bike was stolen.
Ah, that's right. That's what I wanted to hear, Mr. Hogan.
Okay.
Well, the bike wasn't stolen. You're talking about as a civil matter. You threatened her with a criminal case. You threatened her with, I'm going to report you to the police for stealing the bike. And it was after that that she said, come and get it.
If she stops making payments and,
no,
and possesses the bike, doesn't
Mr.
that mean
Hogan,
that she...
She hadn't stopped making payments.
She threatened me with it.
She hadn't
I never
stopped
threatened that.
Making payments. Why would she threaten you with stopping payments if she was making the payments, she had possession of the bike? Do you understand where I'm going, sir?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Choose your poison, door number A or door number B. What's your pleasure?
I would just like a chance to explain my side. I don't feel that explain my whole side of the story.
And later today.
I was kind of intoxicated when he left me there. And I woke up the next day with a room service. They were calling and knocking at my door saying I had to check out. But I had to pay the whole hotel room because he left and left me the hotel tab.
That's when you get drunk.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Jennifer Garfinkel says former friend Nicholas Hogan owes for the return of payments on a motorcycle he repossessed. Jennifer claims Nicholas threatened to report the bike stolen.
Where is the bike now?
I have the bike.
Either she gets the bike or she gets the $1,800 that she put into it. Choose your poison. Door number A or door number B? What's your pleasure?
Can I have a chance to explain? Can I put in a couple points? I haven't explained my whole side of the story.
There's no side of the story, Mr. Hogan.
There
she
is.
She made her payments on time.
She told me she was not going to make payments anymore because there
that's
was
that
an anticipatory breach.
That.
We don't deal with anticipatory breaches in court. She had made the payments to you. You made the payments to the bank. Maybe. Because she
I
made
did.
The
I
payments
proof.
To you.
I have evidence of that.
That you made the payments?
Yes.
All terrific.
Yes. Except for the 1 month, it was a little short, and they were
all,
never on time.
All terrific.
They were on time. I have
They're
proof of that.
Ms. Garfinkel. Door A or door B? Bike or $1,800, which is what she put in?
I would just like a chance to explain my side. I don't feel that I had a chance to get...
Listen to me, sir. It's not complicated.
I'm not going to give up the bike, so I'll take the other door.
Courts don't deal with anticipatory breaches, even if she said it, which I don't believe, that I'm not making the payments. She may have said to you, if you demand that I give you the entire money up front now, even though I've been making payments on the bike and you're threatening to report the bike stolen and to take it back from me, then I'm not going to make payments. That sounds logical. That sounds right. Now, just so that I understand who this character was who thought he could shout out in my courtroom, that used to be your boyfriend.
Unfortunately, yes, Your Honor.
When did he stop being your boyfriend?
He stopped being my boyfriend in July of 2010.
And when, sir, did he start to be your friend?
A long time before that. I don't...
Okay, good. Long time before
Perfect.
That.
Yep.
Very good. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $1,800. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
She had a bike in her possession that she was supposed to sell.
There was never an agreement that I was supposed to sell the bike.
And then give me a bunch of money from the bike that she sold to pay towards the loan.
I was making payments to pay off the balance.
She also was going to pay make advance payments on the loan.
And then he was supposed to sign the pink slip over to me at the end of the day.
Paid off earlier than the minimum payment that was set.
And it just didn't end up working out. He changed his mind for some credit reason.
You know, I stuck my neck out and I ended up paying for it.
You know, I ended up winning my case and proved my point.
That's what I get for being nice.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Ornelas versus Guajardo. Step forward, please.
23-year-old John Ornelas is suing his former friend, Eric Guajardo, for his share of a Miami vacation and for a loan to move into a new apartment.
Mr. Ornelas, you claim that the defendant owes you some money. Owes you some money for some travel expenses that you laid out for him for a trip to Miami and a cash loan in the amount of $500 that you gave him after you returned from Miami.
Yeah, I let him borrow money, $500, after Miami trip.
Just a second. That's what your lawsuit is about?
Yeah.
Yes is the answer.
Yes.
So first tell me about the trip to Miami. You laid out the money for a trip to Miami.
No, actually, I was having dinner with my friend Hector.
Who's your friend Hector?
My witness.
Yes.
And Eric came over, and we were having dinner together.
Are you kidding me?
Who was having dinner? Listen, let's everybody behave themselves, okay?
Perfect.
So you were having dinner with your friend Hector. The defendant came over, and?
We started talking, and then I had a day off, Memorial Weekend off. So I brought up the idea we should go to Miami, and Eric agreed.
What did he say? Don't say he agreed. What did he say?
He said, yeah, we should all go to Miami. And we started talking about money finance. And he said, oh, I'm kind of short. But if you put it on your credit card now, I could just repay you back with, like, installments. And I said, that's fine. And he worked at some bar that gave him a discount, at the hotel bar. So I gave him a discount for the Hilton in Miami. So we just agreed to go to the Hilton and go half on the bill.
Stand still.
To go half on the bill at the Hilton Hotel.
You mean so just the two of you were going? What happened to Hector?
He couldn't come in because he had a work schedule that didn't let him come out.
So then it was determined that just the two of you were going to go. How did you know the defendant?
We've just been friends for a while.
How long?
A couple of months.
A couple of months before you went to Miami?
Yeah, yes. I'm kind of spontaneous, sorry.
You what?
I said I was just being spontaneous with the trip.
Well, don't be spontaneous by banging on the table.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
He paid for that trip because he wanted
to
be
with
me. And I didn't look at him like that. He wanted to take me. He took, like, he took.
Well, then I want you to tell me what he said.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. John Ornelas says former friend Eric Guajardo owes for a Miami vacation and for a loan to move. Eric claims John is upset because he doesn't want a relationship.
So you went to Miami and you put everything on your credit card.
Also a car rental. He doesn't have a license, so I put the car rental under my name. He said he'll pay me $300 for the car rental. The car rental was $1,200. And before we left on the trip, he had mentioned he needed money for his new apartment. He was short $500, and he actually had mentioned it. But once we were on the trip already, he asked for me to let him borrow $500. Otherwise, he'll be homeless and couldn't move to his new apartment with his new roommate. And I was just let him borrow the money because he's still paying back within his next paycheck.
Go.
Well, anyway, so for the Hilton Hotel, it was $227 for the total. And that Sunday, we were supposed to leave at 7 in the morning, but we went out and we got back to our hotel room kind of late, approximately around 5:30.
Because I had to go to work.
He had to be at work the next day, so we had to go back. But I was kind of intoxicated, I was
over the top.
I was just a little buzzed. But so I got there, and I just took a nap. But he just never woke me up to go. I said, our stuff was packed already. All he had to do was just wake me up. I told him he wake me up before he's in the shower and get ready. But he never woke me up, and he left me there. And I woke up the next day, within a couple of 6 hours, at noon, from the room service. They were calling and knocking at my door, saying I had to check out. So I went downstairs and I checked out, but I had to pay the whole hotel room because he left and left me the hotel tab to myself. So I went to the airport and they charged me $527 extra to change my flight since I had missed it for so long. They thought I just canceled my flight completely. Yeah.
When you get drunk.
Yeah. But he agreed to it. He wasn't waking me up.
No, he didn't.
He had agreed to wake me up. Otherwise, why would I take a nap? It's just like that would be ridiculous.
I didn't agree. He paid for that trip.
Listen to me. I want you to A, stand still, and B, don't speak until you're spoken to. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
I've said it to you directly. I tried to say it to you nicely before. Don't speak until I speak to you and ask you a question, and stand still. So now he dumped you in Miami, and you had all these extra expenses. Pay careful attention to me. Dumped you in Miami, didn't wake you when he was supposed to. You had to pay an extra $500 in airfare to get home. Stand still. On what date did you get home?
I got home that Monday. I had to
speak. Okay. You got home that Monday. The date was
May 31st, the same date, but I just got
just
home.
May 31st.
Yes.
When did you give him the $500?
June 1st.
Now, I'll hear you.
He paid for that trip. So he wanted
Tell
to
me
be
about
with
it.
Me. And I didn't look at him like that. Like, we were friends. And, like, how he said that they had dinner, that was
me.
A lie.
Listen to me. He says that you said that you don't have the money.
Right. He paid
to
for
lay
it.
Out. Mm-hmm. But that if he puts it on his credit
no.
card.
He wanted to take me. And he took, like, he
Well,
took,
then I want you to tell me what he said.
Well, he said that he was going to take me. Like.
No, tell me. What did he say?
He said, I want to go to Miami. I'm serious about going. Like, you're still going to go with me, right? And I said, yeah, I'm going to go. It's a free trip. Like, you're going to take me. I didn't have to pay him back.
I didn't hear the beginning of the conversation, sir. When you said, you're still going to take me. So you must have had a preliminary discussion about going to Miami.
Right. He wanted
when
to go
When was that?
That was, I don't remember the day, the date.
Who was there?
Just me and him, nobody else.
Where were you when you had the discussion?
On the phone.
On the phone?
Texting.
When you were texting each other, he wanted to go to Miami, and you said to him what?
Yeah, I'll go. I was like, I don't have money to give you. Like, I'm not going to pay for the trip. I don't have money to spend like that. So he was like, it's fine. Like, I'm going, like, I'm going to pay for it. And okay. I was like, well, if that, like, I work at the hotel, like, I could get us the discounted, like, room, you know? Like, but still, I don't have money to spend. I went there with $0, and he paid for everything.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Now, when for the first time did he ask you for the $500 because he had no money for an apartment?
That's a lie.
No.
Okay.
Just a second.
Sorry.
What do you mean it's a lie? You just told that to me.
No.
You just told that to me.
He's saying it's a lie.
No, listen to me. You just told that to
me. Okay, yeah. He first asked me. He had mentioned it. He never asked me until the trip. He mentioned it on Thursday. He's like, I'm shorting my rent for my new apartment. Because he was to switch apartments.
And just a second. And you said to me before, and I gave him the money because I didn't want him to be homeless.
Correct. I want to be homeless.
That's what you said. Well, how do you expect someone who doesn't have rent money, who is about to become homeless, to pay for a trip to Miami, a rental car, airplane tickets, food, other expenses, when he didn't have enough money for his own rent?
He had money coming in from his old apartment lease, from the deposit he's going to get back from his old apartment. And I have all that text conversation as well.
Show me.
I don't have...
Show.
I have what he...
First you said I have all that?
No, I have all the information. He owes me the money. Okay.
Is that the text he sent to you?
No, there's a text afterwards of... Oh, sorry. Of, like,
Go back over.
Of him agreeing what he owed me for the apartment. I could let him borrow the $500.
Okay. Now, you filed a small claims lawsuit, is that correct?
Yes.
In what county?
Cook County.
And when you filed that lawsuit in Cook County, how much did you sue for?
The $500.
That's right.
For the...
Because that's what this says.
Yes.
That's what this says.
But also, I have...
When you filed the lawsuit in Cook County, that's what you filed for, $500.
But also
not the Miami trip, not the expenses, just the $500 he borrowed from you, correct?
Because I thought we couldn't sue for over $500.
Yeah, right. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $500. That's all. Come on, guy.
All right, this is our excuse. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy...
He gave me the trip because he wanted to be with me and I didn't want to be with him.
I think he was a liar about the whole trip and about everything else.
He just always asked like where we stood, like he wanted to take it to the next level.
Well, he's a lot older than I am, so that's just one advantage he has experience over me.
Because taking me to trips, giving me money.
And he's just a liar. I just believe all his lies.
Paying for everything, everything, and I loved it.
He has money. He's just a liar.
I stopped talking to him because I didn't want nothing to do with him.
Not trusting people who lie.
It is what it is.